So good afternoon, everybody, and it's good to be here today. So this morning in Exeter, I think there was a half marathon, if I'm correct. I don't suppose anybody ran it here, did they? There's a famous marathon called the Marathon des Sables. Excuse my French. It wasn't my strongest subject at school, as my family would tell you. But that is one of the world's toughest endurance races. You see, competitors, instead of running half a marathon, which is about 13 miles, run 250 kilometres, 155 miles across the Sahara Desert. And they are supposed to achieve this in under a week. So it's a feat for which you cannot just turn up and have a go. You have to put in the effort, you have to put in the hours of training to get there to do this this great feat of endurance. And every person in the race faces the desert's trademark brutality. So you've got the sun beating down, you've got the heat, you've got running through difficult terrain, running through not all sand, but a lot of it is dusty tracks and so on. And it's brutal, it's hard. But none had it tougher than an Italian man when it first started, called Mauro Prosperi. And he was an Italian policeman, and he entered the race in 1994. Now, not long after the start, Prosperi found himself in the middle of a sandstorm. And for several hours, he kept his back to the wind, moving a short distance so that he wouldn't be buried in the sand. And when the sandstorm abated, he continued running. But what he didn't realise was that he was running in the wrong direction. And when eventually he realised he'd gone wrong, he knew what he had to do. So how do I put this politely? He used his own waste to fill a bottle so that he had something to drink later. Because water, of course, is so very, very important in the desert. And it's so very important when you're running a marathon or you're in a survival situation. So he kept this liquid to drink later as he needed it. And he walked in the morning and the evening. And he found shade during the middle of the day, and he walked when it was cooler, at the cooler times of the day. And for 3 days he did this, sipping his bottle. And then another sandstorm hit, and that one lasted for 12 hours. And whilst he was in that situation, he found an old religious shrine. And he was able to hide in this, to hide out from the sandstorm, to take some rest and recuperation. And this shrine was actually home to a number of bats. And by this time he was very hungry, he was very thirsty. And he was able to capture them off the ceiling of this shrine. And he went into his sort of animal instinct mode and bit the heads off and drank the blood. And he did what he needed to survive. And by that point, he'd just about given up hope that he was going to survive this terrible ordeal that he was in, that he was going to live. And so he decided that he would die here in this shrine, where his body might be found, rather than out in the open, where it would be lost forever, buried under the sands. So he wrote a note to his wife with some charcoal that he found. And then he cut his wrists. But his blood was so thick because of the heat, because he was dehydrated, that it just clotted instantly. So that didn't work. And so this inability to take away his life, it renewed his prosperity's desire to live. So he decided he'd set out again. And for another 5 days he marched across the sands, heading for a mountain range and the promise of water. And anyway, to cut a rather long story short, he carried on and managed to find, after 5 days, he did find some water. And he found it in an oasis in the middle of the desert. Now imagine that many days, that ordeal running through. You are so thirsty and you find this oasis. And he was found by some nomads and they took him back and they took him to a military base. He'd ended up in Algeria. He'd actually crossed the border and he got into some difficulty because of that. They thought he was going to do something bad. But eventually they were amazed at this feat that he'd done. And during his 9 days of ordeal, he had ended up 300 kilometres, 186 miles away from the correct route. And he had lost 40 pounds, 18 kilograms of his own body weight. And thirst was what he thought about. Now, you'd be surprised, and this is just an aside. He entered the race again 4 years later. I'm not sure I would. Because he felt that he had to finish it. I'd started, so I'd finished. He was that sort of a person. Unfortunately, once again, he failed to finish. But this time, it's only because he stubbed his toe. So, not so bad. But we take water for granted, don't we, here in this country? We turn the tap, out comes the water. We can drink it, it's clean, it's fresh. And we know there are people around the world who don't have this luxury. Water is harder to come by. Perhaps clean water is particularly hard to come by. And so we have projects where we're looking to take the water, to help them draw clean water from the ground. So water is very important for life, very important for us, very important for somebody in a survival situation. Now, we know that physical thirst can be excruciating and dangerous. And of course, dehydration will get you into a serious difficulty in a hurry. Now, I've never been that thirsty myself. I've never been really, really thirsty to that degree. Mum has this thing about us in our family about not drinking enough. So when we were younger, we were told, you must drink some more water. So we were quite good in our family. But the most I've ever had is a headache from not drinking water. But some of you, I don't know, some of you, somebody may have been really, truly thirsty. And so if you have been, you would be able to connect with the meaning of thirst in a spiritual sense. And this is one of the most powerful spiritual symbols in all of Scripture, isn't it? This idea of thirst. So as dehydration draws the whole of our physical being to longing for water, so a spiritual void will draw us into a search for a deeper meaning in our lives. The psalmist expressed it this way: as a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Or another one, I stretch out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. You can find lots and lots of scriptural references to thirst and take the spiritual examples from that. I think that's what we have to do today. We must capture that type of spiritual thirst. We must thirst and long for God and for spiritual living. And so, well, I try to think about the words that Jesus said in John 7 and verse 37, where we read that on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink." So we know, we like to celebrate holidays, don't we? And the Jewish people love to celebrate their holiday feasts as well. And there were, of course, the three great national feasts in the Jewish religious calendar. The first was the Passover, second was the Feast of Pentecost, and the third was this one, known as the Feast of Tabernacles. Incidentally, the Feast of Tabernacles was celebrated by the Jews last week and finished on Wednesday, so I thought that was quite neat as well. And it lasts for a week. Now we know from verse 2, of course, that Jesus was talking about was speaking during the Feast of Tabernacles. And this was a high, happy and holy day for the life of the Jew. And in Leviticus, God told Moses to command the people, on the first day you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. And live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters so that your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them up out of Egypt. So the people were to celebrate this festival by building dens, as we would call them, with branches, and they would go and hide in these dens, and they would be there to remember the wilderness years, to travel through the wilderness, and how God provided for his people, how he gave them enough food, how he gave them enough water. Now during the feast, the high priest would go to the pool of Siloam, and he would take a golden pitcher and dip it into that pool and carry it back to the temple, and there he would pour the water out on the altar of sacrifice. And at that moment the Levites would blow the trumpets, and the crowd would cry out, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I think from Isaiah chapter 12. And then there would be leaping and commotion and dancing and shouting and singing and great hallelujahs. And it was right at the climax of this great festival that Jesus stood up in the crowd and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You see, Jesus realized that the crowd in that day, as a crowd in this day may be similar, he realized what's wrong with the way that we are as humans, that we are as people, that we don't always draw the water from the right well. We go to the wrong well. Too often we try to quench our thirst in the wrong places. We drink from the worldly well instead of the well of life which is found in Christ. So if you would like to gain a spiritual thirst, then listen to what Jesus says to us. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Notice a condition that Jesus lays down. If anyone is thirsty, if anyone wants God, if anyone wants a relationship with God, he could have it. If anyone wants to live a spiritual life, he can obtain it. If anyone seeks God, he can find him through Jesus. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. See, Jesus is only addressing those who are thirsty. And so, think of the Italian in the desert. He was thirsty. Think of those who thirst for physical water. But how much do we thirst for Jesus? That's the question we ask ourselves. And that's why we're here, isn't it? We come to remember Jesus, and we come each week because it helps us to renew our bond of fellowship, to remember Jesus, but also to renew our spiritual thirst for those things which are more important, the most important things in our lives. You see, before we can really have a close relationship with God, we have to thirst for him, don't we? We've got to thirst like the psalmist who said, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. We've got to cry out, as David cried out, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So in that respect, within these walls, we're in an oasis, aren't we? And outside is the wilderness and the lack of water, where it's hard to go and find this water. And we've come here to drink from our oasis. We must come to a point where we can come before God and say, I spread out my hands to you, my soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Psalm 143 again. We will never have a close relationship with God, I think, until we thirst after him. And that is why Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So do we have that spiritual thirst that Jesus requires? What did Jesus say in the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So today we come and we fill up our spiritual tank. And we walk out here renewed, regenerated, refreshed, because we have remembered Christ. To gain a spiritual thirst, we must draw from God's well. Back a few chapters in chapter 4, of course, in John, we see Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. And quite quickly it gets into a deep and spiritual conversation about living water. And Jesus, of course, was amazed with the faith of this non-Jew. And in verse 13, Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water, he was talking about Jacob's well, will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again, ever. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life. If you're thirsty, come to me. And I will give you a well of water springing up for eternal life. How much do we thirst for our Lord Jesus Christ? If we want to experience the presence of God in our lives, we must come to Jesus. If we want to know the character of God, we look at Jesus, don't we? If we want to receive the power of God in our lives, the power to be saved, we come through Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the only true source of satisfaction that we will ever truly find in this life. The water springing up that Jesus offered is pure and unpolluted and gives us eternal life. Solomon tried drinking from polluted wells, trying to find satisfaction elsewhere. And he tried everything, didn't he? First he tried wildness. I said to myself, go ahead, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy what is good. But of course that turned out to be futile. I said about laughter, it's madness. And about pleasure, what does this accomplish? He became a party boy. It was all play and no work. But that didn't satisfy him. And he tried wine. I tried cheering myself with wine and the embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the days of their lives. But he found out, like the alcoholic, wine doesn't work. And then he tried wealth. I brought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself, and a harem as well, the delights of the heart of man. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labour. It's mine, everything is mine, he said. But of course he found out that the eyes of man are never satisfied. And finally he tried wisdom. And I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom, and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what he has already done? I saw more than he learned. I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. But he found out the more that he learned, the less that he knew. And what he did know showed him that everything is futile and foolish without God. We can all relate to that in some way, can't we? When we're younger, sorry girls, when we're younger we think we know everything. And we can't believe that our parents, well, why don't you know that? But as you grow older, you realise the more that you know, the less you actually know about things, I think it's fair to say. And that's how he felt. And the only way to come closer to God was to give himself over to God. And in this last chapter, he wrote those words, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Solomon finally found that true source and secret of satisfaction. He looked to God. He drank the water from that well, and not the well of human folly. Makes no difference whether you are lost or you are saved. You need to have a spiritual passion. You need to have that spiritual thirst. And to gain a spiritual passion, you must come to Jesus and worship God, which of course is what we will be doing in a moment, in breaking the bread to remember him and drinking that wine. So, if you are tired of living without a spiritual passion or zeal for God, if you are tired of just going through the motions, which happens to us all at some stage, I think, if you know deep down inside that you are spiritually dying or dead, the Lord invites us this afternoon to come to him for spiritual renewal. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Isaiah gives this promise. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for Jesus? Are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty for a victorious life? And come to Jesus and drink. And he will fill you until you overflow and become a river of living water. And so now we will remember our Lord Jesus Christ through the bread and the wine. Thank you.